The Seven Signs of Jesus on the Cross, Part 2. In Part 1 of our study, we focused just on the seven signs of Jesus while on the cross. Having considered all the signs quoted by Jesus, and carefully studying each of them, it gives us a limited understanding of their meaning and of their life-changing significance. We cannot leave the story there. We need to briefly follow the story through and see what happened next. In part 2, we will also see what other things happened during those few hours, which also have a very important meaning affecting mankind on the earth, both now and for eternity. The Roman soldiers did not leave Jesus on the cross. We read in John 19:38-42, later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, with the spices, in strips of linen. This was according with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The story then continues in John 21-18. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who's it you're looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples' news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. What a wonderful experience for Mary Magdalene to have met the risen Jesus. Jesus later made himself known to all the apostles. We read in Acts 1:3-10, after his suffering, he presented himself to them have gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and said, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Here the angels reveal to us where Jesus is now. A few days later, Peter, with great power and a liberty, having been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said in Acts 3:29-33, "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from God the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear." Here is the evidence that Jesus is now back with his Father in heaven. But we need to ask the question, what is Jesus' task now he is back in heaven? Part of the answer is found in what Jesus said in John 14:1-3. "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for us, his children. But he has also a far greater role to play on our behalf in heaven. In order to answer the question, what is Jesus doing now? In order to answer the question, what is Jesus doing now back in heaven? I would like us to go back to the crucifixion and ponder for a few moments on what other life-changing things happened alongside as a result of Jesus dying on the cross, and their significance after his triumphant resurrection, which happened 3 days later. Things that would change the whole panorama of history. Let us read again about the other happenings which happened at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. So, to get the connection, let us first read Matthew 27:50-54. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in